The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. Our show features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new this week in recovery news?
So we got kind of a sad story. Two parents were charged Wednesday for alleged roles in the DUI crash that killed a high schooler. They were known to host underage drinking parties. Samantha Rayo and Anandito Rayo were charged with involuntary manslaughter attributed to the death of Sophia Lakeachville. The kids were drunk. They were drinking a bottle of wine. And the father actually was witnessing all this. And they said they were going for a drive. The one girl that was driving actually was driving 98 miles per hour. And she didn't even hit the brakes. The car flipped. The father's daughter was in the car and was able to crawl out and survive the crash. But it was an awful incident. And the driver was twice the legal limit for somebody under 21, which is still under 0.10, but it's just an awful thing. And it's a cautionary tale for parents out there.
Well, why was the involuntary manslaughter charge brought on? Did the parents supply these kids with the alcohol?
Yes.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, right? It was in their house. They knew they were drinking and they were known for doing this. The parents were known for having a lot of high schoolers over, letting their daughter have parties.
How stupid can somebody be? Seriously.
Well, and the thing is some parents think, well, I would rather it happen under my roof so I can witness what's going on, but I can't get over this. So let them go drive after this.
I used to hear that crap 30 years ago. I'd rather have my child drink inside the house.
Yeah.
As you say, take the tape all the way through and see what's going to happen.
Play the tape to the end, right? Yeah, and, you know, so this is a big deal, and the driver of the vehicle is actually being also charged with manslaughter due to the accident. Yeah. So this happened in Georgia.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Look, I want to mention that we are, Mark and I, are having our annual fundraising drive. And we really, really need people to donate. If you've been enjoying this show for 2 weeks, 10 weeks, or 13 or 14 years, we need money to keep this show going. And to get us money, you go on our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and we have a PayPal button, and they should just push that button, right?
Push it, even if it's real quick. Send some money for the holidays.
Yeah, send some money so we can continue. If we don't get money, we're done.
That's
you won't hear us again.
Yes, and we want to keep carrying the message across the world, right?
Right. Mark and I depend on it.
We really do. So
yeah, that's great. All right, let's do this. When we come back, I want to talk about. I'm hoping that you guys want to talk about how exactly do you get into treatment? Are some treatment centers better than others? How does this process work? Because when you need to get treatment, you better know damn well where you're going. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking. Good luck to everybody and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back, and thanks for joining us again. We weren't here last week. I was actually away. I was in Jamaica.
On the beach.
On the beach, but not in the water.
Yeah, and we know why that is.
And you know.
Absolutely.
Because there, you can see what's going to attack you right before it starts.
Clear water. How was the? Was it sunny? Was it nice?
It was not as good as it could have been.
Really?
Yeah. You know, usually there, it rains for 15, 20 minutes in the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say most of the days were cloudy.
Oh,
with
wow.
With a little bit of sun. So it was like, and we had a couple things happen. One of our people that were with us fell and broke three ligaments or whatever.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst.
And I forgot to bring a certain medicine that I'm very careful
about
taking.
Oh, no.
And the doctor had to come up to the villa that we were in.
Yeah.
And my part of it was they charged, it was a Jamaican doctor, $240 for 15 pills.
Wow. So they got you.
They got me. What am I going to do?
They got you. Yeah, I mean, that you cannot go without that.
Yeah, I was surprised they actually had that pill.
Yeah, thank God, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God. So he didn't come up to you and say, I got something for you.
Yeah, man.
Marijuana.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? Ganja.
Ganja.
Hey, listen, besides listening to or watching us on this station, WWDB in Philadelphia, you can also check us out right now, 97.5 FM High Def 2 in Philadelphia. We are broadcast the same time. WGAC in Augusta, Georgia. And WNBR in Tampa, Florida, just to name a few.
Yes, and if you would like, download the podcast. The show will be delivered right to your inbox every week. Go to the iTunes store or another store on there and download the podcast.
Okay, I have a question. I already asked you guys, so you know the answer for our audience. Presidents, and this is legit, president signs anti-beer measure. Doctors lose right to prescribe beer. So you know from the headline that it was the doctors that would give you a prescription to get beer. Can you tell us who the president was who signed that anti-beer measure that made it so doctors could no longer prescribe beer?
This is a good one, Gary.
And if you know it, call us 1-888-728-9941, 1-888-728-9941.
And it's our trivia, clean and sober trivia.
Good one, Mark.
Yes.
And what do we have left, a 69 Camaro? Do we have one left?
I think we do. I think it might be a Porsche. That's
all right, either one they'll get. All right, here we go. So, you know, I was thinking of a title this week, a subject. How exactly do you get treatment? Because I got to tell you something. When I needed treatment, when somebody else thought I needed treatment, I didn't know where to go. I had no idea. I never heard of AA. I think I never heard of it. But it's like, how do you get into treatment? That's a question we'd like to put out to our audience to give us an answer. And by the way, when you respond to us, we really want you to tell us where you are right now, meaning where city you are presently in.
Yes, let us know. We'll call out your city right on the air.
Right away,
yep. But, you know, it's an interesting question because a lot of people get caught off guard with this. It's like somebody... there's some parents out there that just figure out that somebody has an opioid addiction, for instance, and there's been a lot of warning signs and things, but they miss them, right? And then it comes down to, how do I get them help?
Because, Mark, what I found is you can call a regular doctor. They don't know what the hell. They don't know what to tell you, many of them.
Yeah, many of them don't. But, you know, one way to do it is reach an outpatient facility, ask for a drug and alcohol assessment, and they'll do an assessment, and then they'll really help you along the way, kind of figure out, like, well, where can I send my kid? And you don't want to just call one of those numbers you see online unless, like, you really know it's reputable, because I've heard horror stories about, you know, people calling those numbers and next thing they know, their kid's in some place nobody's ever heard about in Wyoming or something.
Yeah.
So
how do you How do you find out? You know, if you call one of these rehabs, they're going to say they're the greatest.
Yeah.
Is the substance abuse and mental health hotline, is that a resource to find out where to go?
Absolutely. I mean, I have never called the substance abuse and mental health hotline. So, but I would imagine they have lots of resources, and you know, and it depends, because there's places that take your private insurance, and then there's places that that take state insurance. So you'll want to send your kid to, you know, a private insurance rehab, but they have state insurance, they won't take them there.
But there is a place for everybody.
Absolutely.
It's a bad excuse that the kid tells the parent, we don't have any money, we can't go. Might as well mention that hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP is a really good resource across the country to get you into treatment. Sybil J. from New York, New York, Mark, asks, how do you know that the rehab you're sending your child to is safe and legitimate?
So a big thing is you got to make sure it's licensed right through the state. But they also have other credentials, such as there's one called CARF. And CARF is a special credential that places that kind of go above and beyond get this credential. And that credential makes sure a lot of times that the place is comfortable, safe, all kinds of things. But when they're licensed, they're going to be getting inspected by the state. And they need to be licensed. So you want to check that. Another thing I always recommend to people is, you know, find people in recovery in your, they'll kind of know a lot of times which places are good, which places are bad. Yeah. You know, kind of use your, you know, you might have some parents that sent their kid to rehab before, and what was their experience like? That's really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Get it from the people that could have or would have gone through treatment. And we might as well, we're going to mention, I mean, this is not an exclusive, but you work for a rehab, don't you, Mark?
Yes, I do. I work for Pennsylvania Recovery Centers, and we do outpatient treatment. It's great. We have partial program. We have MAT, which is medically assisted treatment. We actually have recovery houses in both Philadelphia. Our offices are in Phoenixville, PA, Cherry Hill, and also right in Philadelphia. And the real benefit of having somebody stay at a recovery house is it's a structured environment. Everybody's clean there because you actually do drug testing to make sure of that. So it's a great program. Give us a call. The number is 610-233-4342. That's 610-233-4342.
Right, and that is not the only rehab or facility around.
Yes.
There are a load of them. We're just not going to name them.
Yeah, there's...
No, but seriously...
A lot of good treatment out there.
Do your homework. Do your due diligence now, before it's too late. How do I say that word? Due diligence. Is that it? Thanks, Brad.
I'll give you a quick example. Like, as part of intensive outpatient, everybody should get an individual session once a week. A lot of places don't do that, but we do. You know, there's a lot of different things that you want to look for in terms of quality of the treatment.
Right. There's a lot of good ones and there's a lot of bad ones.
Yes, you've all heard of some of the Florida places.
Richard G. from Glendale, California. If marijuana is a gateway drug, how come I've just been smoking pot and nothing else for 20 years?
Well,
you're a tough guy, Richard. What can I tell you?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's his drug of choice, right? But you also have to look at it. Is this guy a moderate pot smoker, right? Is he a non-addict that, like, a non-alcoholic has a beer, you know, every once in a while? But he has been doing it a long time. So, you know, it'd be interesting. You'd have to ask questions to really know what's going on.
Let me ask you. I know somebody, and it's really uncomfortable when I'm with them. They drink non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Why am I uncomfortable? He's in recovery, and he's not uncomfortable around me.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And the thing about non-alcoholic beer is it has a very, very minute amount of alcohol in it.
They'll say, no, there's absolutely
yes,
none in there.
There's a little bit of alcohol. Now, I wouldn't call that a relapse with this guy because I've actually known people that were sober a long time and they said that helped them. I never recommend that as a therapist, though, because, you know, you look at the body reacts allergically to alcohol.
Yeah.
So it can just be a minute amount and it could trigger you. Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's like CBD with pot,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people are doing CBD, but there's a lot of CBD that has Delta 8, which is another form of THC. So yeah, it's tricky out there.
Yeah. You know, when I went to look to get into a rehab, I ended up at the Institute of the Pennsylvania Hospital, which was called Strecker. I don't know if you,
yes, it sounds like
a long time ago. I don't even know how I got in there. I mean, I was on welfare, but I think I tried to find places and nobody knew what to tell me. I don't even know how I ended up in that place. But, I you know, I hear from a lot of people, I can't go to we don't have any money. I can't go.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a barrier these days, but you understand it. The other thing is that people have a lot of times big deductibles these days.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know, somebody will have a $5,000 deductible. Now, a lot of rehabs will work with you and put you on really doable payment plans for things like that. But you could see it. I mean, you got a family that has one person working and they're like, wow, I can't afford this. So, but if somebody has state insurance, there's usually no copay. So it can be tricky that way.
If you just have state insurance, there are places still.
Yes, there are places still. There's a lot of them, you know, that will take the Medicaid and, you know, state funding. Yeah. So,
hey, we have a caller on the phone. Mike Brill is on the line. Mike, welcome to Clean This Over.
Hey, Gary and Mark. Happy holidays to you guys.
Happy holidays to you, Mike.
It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm just traveling traveling to my gig for the night, Little Music, and I'm always taking you two with me every Friday. This is my meeting for sure to get me ready for my weekend and busy weekends. But I wanted to give a call in and really support this great topic, and it's a very, very
important. You want to support this topic?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, go to our website and hit the PayPal button. That's how you support.
Oh, yeah, I still do have to do that. One of these days I'm gonna play a Clean and Sober gig and donate all funds to that I make and tips to you guys for the group.
Listen, if you do that, Mark and I'll show up.
Behind all this.
We'll come to the event if you do that. All
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll definitely have to do that. I wanted to say to Mark, Mark, I've been missing you, you know, not working together, but, you know, I'm finding out a lot more where I'm working right now, and presently I'm working for STR, Cedar Creek location. STR is Steps to Recovery, and I am working in residential mental health, and we have locations in Lower Bucks, Levittown. We also have a new spot opening up in good old Lancaster, and up in the Poconos as well. And I wanted to say to Mark, believe it or not, we are kind of working together. We are strictly mental health where I'm at. It's a new level of care in Pennsylvania that's called residential level of care. And we're referring a lot of people to your outpatient in Phoenixville and Philadelphia, Mark.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. Mike and I worked together for a long time. And, I miss him dearly. And, that's awesome, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to say is such a, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, mental health or substance use disorder. And it's really, it's a shame, like, there's not more consultation, or maybe it's about calling that hotline and finding out, because I've worked in both. I've worked 10 years in substance use disorders. Now I'm working about 3 years in strictly mental health. And it's really difficult to decipher. Of course, you can't treat depression, anxiety, or bipolar if someone's using a substance illicitly or in an unhealthy way. So it can be a very confusing topic for, you know, parents or loved ones of an individual that have been dealing with, you know, mental health. I hear Mark say it all the time, like mental health leading to self-medication. Is there an addiction there, or is this human being just so fed up and out of control with the symptoms of depression or anxiety, or as we always lean back on, the majority of the time, trauma, a residual trauma? So there's really a long discussion and a consultation that really needs to be done with a professional. And that's why assessments are so important, the biopsychosocials, and to go in there and be assessed by a professional.
You know, when I got sober in 82, they separated addiction and mental health. Yeah. I mean, really separated at where I was. And I don't think they understood it yet that it goes hand in hand, both of them.
Yeah.
I was surprised it took that long to, you were hearing about dual diagnosis, at least when I started in the field, but there was a time when you weren't hearing dual diagnosis. And dual diagnosis, for people that don't know, is that they're two separate and distinct illnesses that directly interact and complicate each other. And treating them both at the same time is the only way. So it's always surprised me when I hear back in the day that they did not treat them at the same
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. We got to roll.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Same to you, man.
All right.
See you, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So if you're just listening to us, you want to watch us, go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. No. Yes. And go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio.
Facebook page.
Oh, Facebook.
Facebook. I'm younger than you. Our Facebook page. And
you handle it, Mark.
Clean and Sober Radio. And you go to the Clean and Sober Radio
just like these folks.
Oh, great point.
All right. Kathy Wolf Collin has been hanging on all day with us. We saw her come on early. Of course, Mike Brill, Jackie McDowell, Zachary Cooper, our in-house expert attorney on driving issues. Let's put it to you that way.
Yes.
He really knows his stuff. Judge Christopher Maddox from Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. Stan Morton, Jim Petrowski. Who is that? Who the hell is Jim Petrowski?
Jim is the man. Jim is a big part of Clean and Sober Radio and has really spearheaded and helped this show for so many years.
Yes, he has. He's on my board of directors, and he's a great guy. Hey, Zach Cooper says, "What's up, boys? Happy holidays to you. Have a great weekend." All right. John Logue. Hello, gentlemen. Michael, what is this? C-I-N-Q-U-E.
Cinque.
Michael, if Mark butchered your name, call us and give him hell, all right? Look, John Logue responded to my question about doctors prescribing beer, and he says, Calvin Coolidge. I did not look it up. It could be wrong. Well, good try, John. It is wrong.
Really?
I will tell you that it is.
Zachary Cooper has
a. Yeah? Was Zachary Cooper?
Zachary says it was Harding.
Zachary. Okay. It is Warren G. Harding. Zachary Cooper looked it up, I am sure, before he said anything.
Way to go, Zach. Way to go.
John, but good try, brother. Kevin Gleason.
Kite flyer.
Yeah, John Logue. He's from Malvern, Pennsylvania. That is the suburbs of Philadelphia. John Logue says, if you're in the CJ system, ask your attorney for that kind of information. What is that?
Criminal justice system.
Oh, okay. I was. Not now. Lynn Marie. Bill Cutruff. Nicole Dixon.
Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. Shane Cook. We got a lot on her. We're going to get back.
That's my beautiful wife, Andrea Diaz.
Oh, yeah. Put her in.
And I hope she feels better.
Listen, when we come back, let's continue. I want to know your experience, how you got into rehab. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
I just want to play the record. I love that song. And I think it does speak for the world we lived in. We were dreamers. We weren't in touch with reality, and I couldn't imagine too many things except bad stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a shame we lost him. What was it, 1983, John Lennon?
No.
No?
Keep going.
1981. Do we have another trivia question here? 1980.
I was living in Florida, December, I think it was December of 80. Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
We need another fact check, guys. We need another fact check.
We're Steven Sussman.
Yeah, exactly. When John Lennon got, unfortunately, taken out of this life.
And by whom?
And by whom, yes. Yeah, it's just such a big loss. But on a brighter note, he had some great music.
He was with a group, with the Beatles?
Yes.
That was the Beatles, right?
Yes.
Mark, I'm not going to ask you.
Ringo Starr, George Harrison, John Lennon, and Paul McCartney.
You got it, brother.
Right?
Finally.
I was 5 years old, but yeah.
Seven years coming, you know that?
We don't have to talk about the past history, Gary. It's all about today.
It is. Is it really?
It's all about today.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you, you know, in terms of like, what was your process like getting into treatment? And, you know, one of the things about this is so many people are so scared their first time.
I was scared. Mark, you did it on your own.
I did it through NA. But I saw a counselor and stuff, but I just hear so many people early in treatment, they just don't know what to expect.
Well, I hate to keep bringing it back to me, but mine was, Strecker program was in a psychiatric hospital, the first one in the country. So there were, as I understand, in the basement, shock treatments.
Whoa.
Not when I was there, but the history of that, the Pennsylvania Hospital. But when I got in there, I didn't know what to expect at all. I mean.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What was it like walking up to that front door for the first time to go in? I mean, did you have butterflies? What was that like?
You know what that reminds me of? When I asked our buddy, the bank robber, what was it like the first time you robbed a bank?
That was a great question, by the way.
Well, so was yours just now. I really don't, I guess I was nervous. I don't remember. Yeah. I got high that morning.
You did, of course.
I had to take that last Quaalude.
Yeah, they call it the last stand. And in all reality, the last stand is very dangerous. Like when somebody is going to go to rehab, I'm trying to push to get them there right away because you know they're going to take a last stand.
Of course.
And it's bad. It can really, really turn out not well.
I can remember it was a Monday.
Yeah.
It was sunny out. I my mother drove me there and it was May the 3rd, 1982.
Wow. Now, you said they had a pool there.
Oh, yeah. They have
swimming pool. I mean, it was like nice.
It was really nice compared to the way I was living. Yeah. And, you could smoke in that rehab.
How did you smoke a lot?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Sure. And I thought the food was great. It was a salad bar kind of thing and other stuff. Because I wasn't, you know, I'm sure like a lot of us, I wasn't eating good meals or anything, right? And I can tell you this, I weighed 92 pounds when I went in there.
Really?
And they gave IQ tests. IQ. Take a guess.
Of just going into rehab?
Yep. All doped up.
72. IQ.
84.
84. Okay. All right. 84?
84.
You're a couple points away, man.
From what?
I'm not sure.
From what, Mark?
We need another fact check here. What is 84?
Guess what? I think it's average in the United States.
Is it?
Ask it. What is an average IQ of a human being in the United States?
Yours does not count. And by the way, they should do that still because it would totally freak people out.
It freaks.
I mean, we're going to give you an IQ test. You've been using drugs for the last 6 years. Let's see how it turns out, right?
When they said that number, I was really freaked out.
Wow.
It's like, am I now? The pills mess my brain up for good.
And this is during the time for people, maybe they're too young for this, but this is the time when they used to have commercials. This is your brain on drugs. And they would crack open an egg and throw it on the frying pan. I mean, well, I think it might have been a couple years after that. I'm not sure. It was during Nancy Reagan, right?
It was during the 80s.
During the 80s.
Brad, you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember, but I don't know what year. Yeah.
So,
it was a war on drugs.
And you were sober. That's the scary part.
Well, you know.
I got bad news for you, Gary. David Serkin says the average IQ is around 100 to 112.
Okay, I guess David knows.
No, I think it's 80. Jim Meehan said 86.
Jim Meehan knows. So your question. I was confused, scared. I mean, this big building, it was built in 1790s, you know, and it's scary.
Did you ever see the movie Clean and Sober?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's with Michael Keaton. You got to see this movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
People that haven't seen it, see Clean and Sober. It has nothing to do with Clean and Sober Radio, but it's like early 80s. He goes into rehab to hide from the law, and it's like it's a great movie. It's a great recovery movie.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you'll really like it. You'll really like it. He wakes up with the girl dead in his bed. It's
that
like,
never happened.
Yeah. Well, that's
I'll you,
good.
I'll tell you one thing happened to me. I was in a hotel in Miami Beach on Collins Avenue, and I was with two other friends, Ronnie Goldberg and somebody else. They left. I fell asleep with a cigarette, caught the bed on fire.
Yeah.
And the fire department came up, and is anybody on the floor? And David was the one who said, I think my friend's still in that bedroom. David saved my life.
Wow. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When the fire department came in and woke you up, were you completely spooked?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I remember him telling the stories. Like, I came back to the place, and there's, like, smoke and fire trucks all over the place.
Yeah, that's what David, I miss that guy, man.
Yeah, me too. COVID. COVID got him.
Yep, COVID got him. You know, we got a lot of people I'm going to mention. It's a little out of order, but we shouldn't mention without them mentioning where they're from, but we'll do it. Nicole Dixon, Shane Cook. We say Mike Burke.
Yeah.
From Media, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
John Logue. Oh, Lennon, December 8th, 1980.
He's got another one on here. He said, part of Clean and Sober was filmed in Delaware County. My cousin was in a non-speaking part.
Wow. Hey, wait a minute. What's today's date? The 7th?
The 6th.
So
2 days.
And Sunday will be 44 years that John Lennon's been dead.
And wasn't it on a Sunday when he got killed?
I don't remember that.
It was a weekday.
Oh, it was a weekday. Maybe if somebody can look that up. What day was he killed?
Hey, you guys, know? I have a question.
Yeah, let's hear it, Brad.
By the way, that's Brad. That's our guy. Brad, show your face.
I'm not going to do that.
All right, go ahead.
So you're talking about the challenge of getting into rehab, finding
yes.
one that you think is going to fit.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the process after that? How long am I going to be in there? How effective is it going to be? And what's the support mechanism?
Do you mean now or years ago?
No.
You're going to be in
there. What's the support mechanism after that?
I can speak on inpatient. Yeah. You can speak on outpatient. Yeah. Inpatient, you're in there at least 10 days to 30 days. I think that's about it. There should be a process of reentry. That's what they call in the prison. Of you coming out, you should be given resources.
But you have, you have a family at home.
Yeah.
Are you immediately put back into that environment or do you continue? You go back right back into the environment.
I'm sure it's recommended for certain people to go to a halfway house, but definitely continue in some kind of treatment and definitely go to meetings, which are free. And so you asked, how quickly can you get in? You can get right in.
Oh yeah,
you can get right in.
But coming
most
out,
places.
My concern is coming out of it because the reasons that you are the way you are didn't go away in 10 or 30 days.
Well, that's why it's right also important that the family's involved during your inpatient stay or even outpatient that they're involved. So they know what to expect when you come out. And that does make it easier for the patient, I think, that if everybody's on board.
Yeah, and in a best case scenario, right? They go in 5 to 7 days for detox, usually if they need it, right? They'll go in for detox. Then the residential part is the rest of the time there. But then when they get out, in a best case scenario, you are going to go down levels of care. The next level of care after rehab is called partial hospitalization. And that is something where you're going 5 days a week, and it's like over 6 hours a day. It's pretty intense.
But you don't have to do that.
You don't.
Unless you're court ordered.
Well, yeah, and people choose voluntarily to do it. But
you
can imagine, some people need to go back to work right away.
Yeah.
And they'll get into, after partial hospitalization is IOP, which is 4 days a week, right? And not everybody can do that, but there's some night programs around that they can do after work. And then after that is just regular outpatient, which is less intensive. But people can be in outpatient, 4 months to a year, follow-up. But here's where it comes in again, where it can get costly, copays, all that stuff,
But meetings are free.
Yeah, meetings are free. But you see a lot of barriers. People want to go right back to work, and you can understand it,
Definitely.
There's financial things.
Definitely.
And, So.
It's, look, that's a very scary part of recovery is leaving the hospitalization part, the rehab, because now you're out there and at some point you got to get back into it, into the life.
And the people that actually do the best I've seen are the ones that go to recovery houses.
Really?
Yeah, they go to recovery houses where they're living with other sober people. If it's a good recovery house, they're making them go to meetings. And they're doing treatment at the same time. They do the best because they're not like in that environment again. Because some people just go out and they just relapse right away. They go back to their environment and they pick up. But a lot of people can't do a recovery house, and you got to make sure it's a good one. Because there's some nasty ones
out there.
Yes.
But you can always go to, always go back to meetings. You can go, five meetings a day if you want.
Yes, you can go to lots of meetings. And, if you're on medically assisted treatment like Vivitrol or if somebody's on Suboxone, then there's the follow-up of seeing an outpatient doctor, to follow up with that or if they're on naltrexone or something like that.
Yeah. You were able to do it without going into treatment. I don't think I could have. I had to be taken out of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was scary. It was scary like going to the first AA meeting.
Yeah.
Right? We know
terrifying.
What's going to... any excuse you could think of not to go.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I don't know if you were, but, and people could actually comment on this themselves, but I was worried about people seeing me there, right? I was worried about,
Who were you worried about, seriously?
I was worried about anybody. It could be my old teacher. I mean, I had all these people in my head that would see me there going in, you know? That doesn't bother me in the least bit anymore, but I run into a lot of people where they fear that. They're scared of that, you know?
Yeah, I didn't have any of that.
You were already in the newspaper. No,
I felt when I got in there, I felt so relaxed. Nobody was calling on the phone wanting dope. Nobody was banging on my door. None of that insanity that we lived in that was all-consuming. And once I got into the rehab, I was like, oh.
And it is like a lot of these nicer rehabs. Just for people that are having second thoughts on going, they're nice. You're gonna end up enjoying it eventually, right? You're gonna end up with a lot of support.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Good food. I mean, depending on which one, right?
Yeah.
How often did you go swimming, like every day in that pool?
I never did.
You never did? Okay.
No, I didn't go. It was an outdoor pool. It was May. I just like, you know, we had, you know, meetings, smoking cigarettes, eating with people. I guess most people were hell-bent on staying sober. Now, I don't know where most of them went, but it was a really, really good environment. Psychiatrists, that's who we would see, and it's not there anymore, unfortunately.
Is it abandoned or torn down?
No, the building is that's historically certified or whatever building. Yeah. It's now just medical offices all through
Okay.
The one wing of it is for heroin addicts.
Okay.
The rest is private doctors and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I went back there for about 5-6 years ago, and they actually gave me a tour. And it was really like so... nostalgic for me to walk through those hallways. And I sat there. I had a meeting there, you know? It was... My mother would come for Monday nights for family. My father never came. I don't think he could handle it. He was just too crazy. But I met my first wife there because her brother was in there with me.
How did you pull that off?
You mean, how did I figure it out?
Yeah, like, well, did you, like, see her in there and, like, can I have your phone number and the brothers right there, or, like?
No, we were talking, and she told me she worked for a radio station.
Okay.
Bang. That's what happened.
Yes, then you ended up flying over Live Aid with her father, right? He was
in the Shadow Traffic.
Shadow Traffic.
So that's how I pulled that one off.
Yes.
But they always say, once you, early in recovery, do not get into a relationship. That's not what you're supposed to be focusing on.
Nobody listens.
But that's hard, man.
Nobody listens to that one.
Nobody.
I mean, it's kind of like, how do you define relationships? Is it just a hookup or an actual relationship? There's lots of little lines that people like to kind of look at there, you know?
Before we go to break, let's hit a couple more people. Mike Burke gives the answer. Lennon was killed. It was a Monday night. It interrupted Monday night football with Howard Cosell.
Wow.
They stopped the football game for that. Linda Carroll. Happy Friday, guys. Yes, Linda, we know you're from Wynwood. Thank you very much. Lex Gallo. Jane Goodeve. That's good.
Well, you know, one thing that people don't talk, so we're talking about getting into treatment and all of these things and following up afterwards.
Yeah.
Another thing is a lot of these inpatient places have alumni programs.
Yeah, and they'll have
like an alumni meeting once a week, and they'll have programming, and that's so important. I have a lot of clients that, you know, still talk to some people and they're still involved in alumni. It's anything that you can follow up with and get that support.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. Tell us how easy or hard it was for you to get into treatment. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015. And I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
That was Ricky Bird from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts doing that drop. Mark, you already know, we just got a text message here from Mike Burke, and he says, by the way, Tom Sexton, who was a counselor at Strecker, passed away this week with 53 years of continual sobriety. He was my counselor.
Whew. Sorry for your loss.
Ooh.
Right.
I saw him about 5 years ago. A couple times I had lunch with him.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me about that, you know, and he had
Tom
a big influence
Sexton.
On you, didn't he? You said
yeah.
He was tough, but he was fair.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And as you just said, fate. We're sitting here now. We're talking about Strecker. And Tom and Mike Burke brings up Tom Sexton.
The universe wanted you to know, Gary. You know, wanted you to know. And God rest his soul, right? Think about that. 54 years. It probably helped so many people.
54 years. That means he was 2 years sober when he became my counselor.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Tom. You're a good guy. Wow. Jim Meehan, my Florida place has alumni twice a month. It's good.
Yeah.
And that is important. You are so right about how important that is. Samantha J., she doesn't put where she's from. I never thought that I would be listening to a show like yours. But I needed to find this kind of show because of my daughter's addiction, a daughter Amanda's addiction.
Well, I'm glad she found it, right? And that's what, you know, his family want to get really educated on this, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah.
And get that support.
I mean, this is a good place to get all that information, support, resources, and everything else. Fabio Martinez from Ponce, Puerto Rico. Did I say that right?
Close enough for me.
Ponce? My wife and I are listening to your show whenever we can. It helps us deal with our kids and lets us know we are not alone.
That's cool. It's nice to see just kind of like the word and the message getting out, right?
Yeah. We're mentioning these people
yeah.
because Betsy Green says, Tom Sexton was my counselor too. He wore great socks. Boy, what we remember about people decades ago. Thanks, Betts, for putting that in there. And Mike Burke says he was his counselor for 23
Jeez.
Years.
For 23 years?
Yeah, 23 years. Wait, his counselor for...
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, that's long term there.
I think because Sexton also had a practice outside.
Private practice.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty cool. I mean, just to think about all the people that he influenced, right?
Yeah, but as you said, to hear it today after we were talking about Strecker.
Yeah, yeah. No coincidences, Gary.
No coincidences in AA, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess everybody today is chicken, not calling us. Is that what it is?
You know, it's funny, but there's a lot of activity on our Facebook message.
I know that. And that's, we love
that. Yes.
We love it, but we also
fact
like
checks.
We also like to hear voices.
Yeah, we heard good old Mike Brill call in, which was good.
We used to hear voices in our heads, and now we like to hear them when we're doing the show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
You know, isn't that the truth right now, right?
Was that appropriate, Mark?
It was totally appropriate, because we're like, yeah, it's what time is it? It's 3:49, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, though. Gary, yeah. For anybody that's out there and they're listening, this is a tough time of year. You know, it's a tough time of year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, it's grief. A lot of people have lost loved ones, and grief comes up and hits them in the face. And it's really that time of year to get close to your supports, right? And if anybody's sitting out there struggling right now, reach out for help, because, you know, isolation is the symptom below all of it. And once you reach out for support, things will get a lot easier, don't you think?
I think that's great advice, Mark. And there is plenty of support, especially around the holidays.
Yeah.
There are meetings, New Year's, Christmas, you know. But you're right. Stay at home is a dangerous thing by yourself.
Yeah, it is. And also, you know, there's a lot of Christmas parties and things like that. It's as a counselor, you've heard some of the worst but funniest stories, you know, about Christmas parties. Like, I've had so many people over the years come in where something happened at their company Christmas party because they were intoxicated. And they end up with coming in, you know, and I'm like, a Christmas party again. Here we go. I don't know what it is about Christmas parties. You know, it's the worst place to get drunk, by the way, because HR will be on you, you know?
So. And don't feel like you have to go to these parties.
Yes.
Just because you're getting pressure from your workmates or whatever. You know, you can't take that shot.
I know. I'm almost sure I'm going to get another one this year. Like, after the holidays, go.
Another what?
Go. Another person coming in because they did something at their Christmas party. You know, they got intoxicated.
They did something. And then the next Monday.
Yeah, they have to go into work, and then they get sent for a drug and alcohol evaluation.
So,
you know?
So HR, they actually go after people, even if it's not on company time?
If it's something happens at the Christmas party.
I guess that is connected to
company. Yes, oh. Yes. Yeah, Christmas parties, and then we get the DUIs floating in too, you know, after the holidays, you know. And it's pretty predictable, pretty predictable.
Well, I never.
Yeah, Christmas parties.
Yep. I cause problems at like weddings and stuff.
Yeah,
knocking tables over. I mean, embarrassing the queen and the king, the bride and the groom.
Did you ever see the movie 28 Days with Sandra Bullock?
No.
Oh, in the beginning of it, she falls drunk on the wedding cake. Yeah. In the middle of, you know, in the beginning, yeah. It's because she's so drunk. And it's just like, you see this whole thing and you're like, oh my gosh. Like,
but isn't it good that we can like smile when we see this stuff? Right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because we don't have to worry about it at our Christmas parties or our holiday parties, let's call them now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really upset about Tom Sexton.
Yeah. But what a life. 53 years sober. I mean, you know, all the people he impacted.
But he said 53 or 43?
53. I think he said 53, unless I read this wrong. Yeah, 50 years of continuous sobriety.
53. Oh, he was sober. He was sober 10 or 11 years before I showed up.
Isn't that cool? Oh, our buddy, Chris Therrien just joined us.
Yeah, what did Chris Therrien have to say?
Chris Therrien, former Philadelphia Flyer. Yep.
He's
great
watching.
Guy.
Look good, gang, one day at a time.
Yes. Ain't that the truth, right? You know?
Yeah. It's nice that Chris checked in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one day at a time, huge, right, for the holidays and just for going through stress and, you know, coming back to the moment. You know? Care.
We're getting 3 minutes.
We're getting 3 minutes. You know, at the end of the show.
What else you got, Mark?
Let me see what I can come up with here, Gary.
Okay. Hey, why don't we go through these people that emailed us again?
We'll start over again.
Start over again.
We're running out of ideas here.
No, we're not. You know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hey, Chris Therrien's watching.
Yes, Chris Therrien.
Let me see if we missed anybody serious. Betsy Green. I think we hit better.
Jim Meehan, my year better.
You know, I can't read.
My wife's his home. His wife is home and not in a rehab. That's a physical rehab.
Okay,
place.
Great.
So good news, Jim.
Great, great.
We're glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elton John's watching.
Yeah.
He just
didn't
on.
We have Elton John once watch?
Absolutely did.
We had Elton
and
John.
I can prove it too.
Yeah. It was your Your daughter?
My daughter's friend who plays with Elton John.
Yeah.
Told Sophie that for about 15 minutes he was listening to the show.
I'm glad we didn't know because we just would have frozen up. We just wouldn't have been saying anything.
Yeah,
there's Elton John.
Hey, listen, I think we're coming to about the end before Tyler starts yelling at us. Remember, Mark, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Henley.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you all for joining us as you do each and every week.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.